But podcasting isn't always necessarily that way, especially if you're not already famous. So that was definitely a major thing that I had to overcome, is getting comfortable with the silence that can sometimes come with podcasting.
There's over 1.9 million podcasts. Most of them never see the results they expected. They want to monetize, but their show ends up costing them money, and they never achieve the listenership they desire. This show will help you launch, grow, monetize, and inspire with your podcast. Get ready to take notes, because here's your host, Adam Adams.
Welcome back to The Pop. That's the podcast on podcasting. And my name's Adam AAA Adams. My real name, I know, it sounds crazy. My parents gave me that name for some weird, strange reason. And I've got somebody else on the podcast with a different name. Her name is Alicia Butler Pierre. Welcome, Alicia. How are you today?
I am doing well, Triple A. Good. I'm doing really well. Thank you.
Fantastic to hear. And in the pre-interview, Alicia and I were just talking about Louisiana. Do you live there now? By the way, I forgot to ask you that.
I'm in Atlanta, Georgia now.
Okay.
I've been here for about almost coming up on 16 years. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. So as I understand it, you went to college in Louisiana and in New Orleans, which I have a soft spot for New Orleans, for sure. And I think everybody knows why, because it's just the coolest place on earth. Where, anyway, we'll skip toward things that are beneficial to you, the listener, to help you be a better podcaster. And so what we're really going to be talking about is Alicia. And just to give you just a couple of bullet points of her background, her history, she does host the Business Infrastructure Podcast. So she's the host of that. And also she's a two-time Amazon best-selling author for her book, Behind the Facade, How to Structure Company Operations for Suitable Sustainable Success. I don't know why, but I had a feeling I would mess it up.
You're doing a great job, Adam.
Yeah, I needed that. Thank you, Alicia. All right, so here, let's dive in to the questions. And the first one, I just want to know, if for your business, Alicia, who is your like a perfect avatar and how do you serve them?
Perfect avatar, Adam, for my company, which is Equilibria, is an ambitious owner of a fast-growing company that's usually been in existence for at least somewhere between 3 to 5 years. And their problem isn't getting customers, it's the fact that they have too many. And so they recognize the importance, once they're at that point in their business, that's when they recognize the importance of getting processes and systems and certain tools and technologies and the right people in place.
Awesome. And so how do you help them with that?
I help them with that through what I call business infrastructure. So what business infrastructure is literally just a system for how you link your people, your processes, and your tools to make sure that your growth not only continues, but that it's sustainable, it's repeatable, and of course, profitable.
So with that said, Alicia, do you like have an online course for that? Or is it more business consulting where they call you, they hire you for a certain amount of time? Maybe you fly out to them, or maybe you'd have some templated systems and processes that all businesses should be using. So I want to dive in a little bit more on how you help that person, like really what it looks like to work with you, I guess.
I think you're one of the first people that really nailed pretty much every way that I offer products and services or service the people that I work with. And you mentioned courses first. And it's so interesting that you would mention that, Adam, because that's actually something that we're working on right now, is developing courses. But right now, it's primarily through consulting. So projects, doing projects with certain clients. And then as of the pandemic, because so many of us were unable to just work together in face-to-face or in person, I was able to actually start offering remote coaching services. So that's something, Adam, that I've been trying to kick off, honestly, like 4 or 5 years ago. But there was a lot of resistance to it. But that's one silver lining, at least for me and my business, that came as a result of pandemic, you know, last year in 2020, is now people are receptive because more often than not, they have no choice but to work remotely. And then we do offer templates as well. We actually have an online store where people can go and buy some of these process or flowchart templates to kind of kickstart their efforts in creating these systems and processes for their fast-growing companies.
Perfect. Well, here's one of the things that I really like is that for you and your business, you understand exactly who you're targeting and you understand exactly how you're going to serve them. This is a piece that I like to ask that question, you know, first, because I feel like a lot of the podcasters that have come to me, they don't really have their podcast as part of their business. They kind of created the wrong podcast. They didn't know what they were doing or what they were thinking or how they were going to attract the right person. They just kind of wanted to be famous. They just kind of wanted to have influence. And so they just had some type of podcast, any type of podcast, but it doesn't really serve their audience. And for you, I know that you host the Business Infrastructure Podcast, and that's, you know, very similar. So how does your podcast kind of correlate with your business by acting as a piece of an overall funnel to kind of pull your perfect avatar into your services?
I'm really glad you asked that question, Adam, because whenever I'm asked some type of variation of that question, it gives me an opportunity to tell people how podcasting really can serve as a business development tool. And I wish I could tell you that I went into it thinking that way, but that wasn't the case. I honestly was just part of a throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing what would stick kind of approach. Unfortunately, I wish I could tell you it was planned and carefully and methodically thought out. But once I got started, I realized the power that podcasting offered. So not only did it breathe new life into my business, it gave yet another platform to get the word out about what the heck is business infrastructure, because so many businesses need it, but not enough people know what to call it if it had to have a name. And so having the podcast allows me to not only meet other people like you and have these amazing guests, and we get to have a conversation about specific tips and strategies that they use to not only grow but scale their businesses, it also gives me the opportunity to share resources, which is what I appreciate also about your podcast, is that it's all about the giving back. So I'm receiving great information by having these conversations with amazing people all over the world. But in turn, we're able to then put our collective resources together and share that with the audience.
Really valuable. Thank you for going into that. I want to ask you, like, based on everyone else's feedback and mine especially, I went through challenges for sure. I assume that there was a few challenges that you've overcome over the last little while. So what were those that you needed to kind of fix through having your podcast, kind of learning lessons that you've had so far?
I'll tell you, honestly, one of the first things, and I don't think enough people talk about this when you're starting out, is the deafening silence. And what I mean by that is you don't necessarily receive feedback right away. So a lot of times it can feel as though you're out there, you're pouring your heart and your soul into your content, and you release it, you publish it across all of these different platforms, but is anybody really listening? And it took me a while to understand how to understand the analytics with podcasting and how the different platforms work and the fact that they don't share certain information with you. That was a big obstacle because, honestly, I started hearing the term pod fade also, right? Where most people burn out after, you know, sadly, 6 or 7 episodes. And I think a big part of that is because you don't immediately receive that feedback. It is not as quickly as you would, let's say, if you were putting together an e-newsletter for the first time, or if you did a direct mail campaign, you did a Facebook ad campaign. Some of those things might gain an immediate reaction, but podcasting isn't always necessarily that way, especially if you're not already famous. So that was definitely a major thing that I had to overcome, is getting comfortable with the silence that can sometimes come with podcasting.
So have you done more than 6 episodes?
I am at episode 133 now.
Nice. So you beat the average by far.
Yes.
You even beat the top I think having 100 episodes either puts you in the top 10% or maybe it was higher for a number of podcast episodes that end up going out. And I also know that really once you hit that 100 mark, it usually is easier for like Apple Podcasts to recognize you as legit. They start to say, all right, Alicia, she's not going anywhere. I'm going to start promoting her show to people because she's past that, you know, that hurdle that almost nobody does with that 100 episode mark. Really good stuff. Thank you for just the thoughts on the podcast silence that people might experience if they're kind of going through podcasting. I will say one thing because it's kind of relevant right here. I serve podcasters. That's why I have a podcast on podcasting. And one thing that we do heavily is we do marketing and promotion. So we'll do a launch for you, the listener. We'll do a launch for you. And when we do, we'll promote the show so you get lots of downloads and listens. So working with us, you can either choose to have a top 10% show or a top 1% show. And we guarantee that we'll write you a check for 10 grand if we don't hit the top 10%, or $20,000 if we don't get you to top 1% within a few months. So it's like literal money back guarantee. You won't hit fill that silence if you're doing it that way. But if there is a 99% chance, this is literal, like this is an actual statistic, a 99% chance that you'll be in the 99 percentile at least during the beginning of your podcast, if you're doing it without promoting it. So you want to make sure that you're promoting it, or else you're going to feel really awkward, you know, putting out your podcast, saying we have a podcast, because you're like, I've got a podcast, but I only 20 people download it or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. If you're going to do it like most people do it, you could struggle. And Alicia's right. That's why so many podcasters, after having six-ish episodes, they just kind of quit. They're just like, nobody's listening. Sometimes I say to you, when you're starting a podcast, even if you don't have the funds to hire a company that does all the marketing for you, if you're doing it on your own, do everything that you can. Put it on social media, put it on your email list, call friends up and talk to them, because you want to make sure that you're hacking into the algorithm by showing iTunes, Apple, showing the charts that people care about your podcast. People are starting to listen. So you can pretend to be that famous person by being relentless about calling enough friends or just hiring a company like ours to do all the promotion for you. So anyway, that is a big, big thing. So glad you mentioned that. How do you find great guests is a question that I get from an insane amount of new podcasters or aspiring podcasters. They are sure they want a podcast, Alicia. They know. They're like, I definitely, Adam, you're right. If I don't have a podcast, no one's going to know who I am. It is like my business card. I do need to do it. And I'm surprised, because I was worried about a lot of things. I was worried personally about imposter syndrome. When I started my first podcast, I was like, it was a real estate podcast. And I said to myself, I've only done a handful of deals. I've only been in real estate a handful of years. And there's people that have been doing it for 20 years or 30 years or that own billions of dollars of assets or even hundreds of millions or even tens of millions when I only had about a million. And I was thinking of assets with bank loans on them, by the way. I didn't have a million liquid or anything like that, but I think I owned like a few houses and they added up to something like that. And I had done a few fix and flips in a few apartments. And I thought to myself, I'm an imposter. That's what I struggled with. But right now, today, so many people calling me and asking me, hey, Adam, I want to do a podcast, but the one thing holding me back is this. I don't know how to find great guests. So Alicia, do you have a podcast where you bring on guests, or is it just you? Yes. So how do you find good guests for your show?
It's been an evolution, to be honest with you, Adam. So when I first started, I looked within my own network. So I literally reached out to people that I already knew and had a relationship with and asked if they would come onto my show. Because I suspected that if I were to just go out cold and ask, you know, for example, you, if I had reached out to you maybe on social media and asked if you would be a guest, you probably would have said no, because I was just starting out. And so it was important for me to reach out to people who already knew that if I say I'm going to do something, then it's more than likely going to happen. So that's how I started out. And what happened, Adam, is right at about maybe somewhere between episodes 50 and 75, I started to notice a shift. People actually started contacting me, asking if they could be on the show. I'll explain to your audience the way that happens. Some people find you on Twitter. Some people will connect with me on LinkedIn. And on my LinkedIn profile, I specifically put the fact that I am a podcast host. And there's information on the podcast. So what happens is, if someone wants to be interviewed, or if there is a publicist who has clients that he or she is representing, they might go into a tool like LinkedIn and do a search for podcasters. And that's how they may find me that way. And a lot of times when I receive the direct emails, it still astonishes me. It's also a little bit creepy how people can find you and get your contact information. So there are publicists who will actually email me and say, hey, I have this great list of clients that I think you would be great for your show. Here's a short bio on each of them. Could you take a look over it and let me know if there are any of them that you are interested in? Another way that I find guests, that where I will go out and actively look for people, sometimes it can happen, Adam, if I'm reading an article. This happened actually a couple of weeks ago. I was reading an article on entrepreneur.com, and it was an article about this lady who had $1 million month last year, and that really got my attention. Wow, she did $1 million from a simple pivot in her business model during a pandemic. Wow, she's somebody I definitely want to talk to. And so I actually found her on LinkedIn, I believe it was, and I reached out to her. And so I'm waiting to hopefully hear back from her. So that's another way that I can find people. Sometimes I may also ask in my company's newsletter, hey, we're going to have a new season coming up on the show. This is what the theme is going to be about. If you or someone that you know would like to be a guest, here's a link to the intake form, and please fill it out. So those are just some of the ways. I'd like to mention one more, if that's okay. And it's something that I've just found out about a couple of weeks ago, and we're starting to play around with it. It's called matchmaker.fm. Are you familiar with that one?
I haven't used Matchmaker. It might be similar to something that I do use, so I'll let you finish going into it.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, it might be similar to something that I use to connect with people.
Okay. So this is a website where if you are looking to be interviewed, or if you are the person looking for a guest, this literally is a website that tries to match you up, as I've heard it described, almost like a Tinder for podcasting.
You just swipe right. Yeah, I'll have you on my show.
So I've been told this.
She's cute. I'll have her on my show.
And so what happens is, I believe there are some filters that you can apply, and based on your subject matter or the types of podcasts that you would like to potentially be a guest on, you would just put that into the search field, and then a list of potential podcast hosts will come up. And you can create a profile. You can actually contact them through the app or through the website. And then I guess, you know, you just wait to hear back from those people. And then hopefully you can either become a guest on someone else's show, or you can, this is a way of soliciting or recruiting potential guests for your podcast.
Love it. So I got 4 takeaways from finding good guests for your show. The first takeaway that I got was starting with your inner circle, with your family, with your friends, people that you know really well, because it's really hard for them to say no. It's really easy for you to kind of practice asking them. And it kind of, I think, helps you to be just build confidence over time to be able to ask bigger and bigger guests like that aren't in your circle, because you've already kind of practiced asking. And you know them well, and they're likely to be able to come on your show, and you're likely to already have been able to vet them for the most part to make sure that they're good people for the show. And the next one is that you've had other people come on your show by typing in like podcast, but I also think you can reverse engineer that, like on LinkedIn, where you, let's just pretend like you want investors on your podcast. Then you go to LinkedIn, you reverse engineer the process where how they're finding you, and you just type in the word investor and Atlanta. And now all of a sudden you're getting all these local investors to you, and you'll be able to say, reach out to them and say, hey, would you like to come on my show? The third takeaway that I got was you do a post on Facebook. And I thought this was really interesting because you're kind of having other people do the work for you. And plus, when you do a post like this on Facebook, for example, what's interesting is you're actually hacking in Facebook's algorithm, because when you're asking questions on Facebook, you're doing what's called stopping the scroll. So in general, people are just scrolling through everybody's posts where they're telling them stuff, but you have that question like, hey, I need help. Hey, I'm looking for guests. That's the type of thing that really gets people to stop scrolling and look at your post. Secondly, you're asking for engagement on your Facebook post, so they're more likely to engage instead of not do anything. And now Facebook's saying, holy cow, when Alicia posts this, we need to get this out in front of more people instead of just 10 of her friends. They've done their A-B testing, their split testing. Facebook's so brilliant at this because they need to capture attention. So when they know that your post is capturing attention, it's stopping the scroll, it's getting engagement, they're going to put it in front of the most amount of people. So what's kind of cool about this third strategy that I got from you, Alicia, is it's really working in your benefit in a lot of ways, because regardless of getting good guests, you're also really promoting your show because more of your friends can see that you have a show about business infrastructure or whatever the podcast's about. And so that's going to help. And I also love how, because you're asking for advice, human beings have a really hard time not giving advice. We, especially me, I give advice even when I'm not asked it. So let alone if you ask for it, I'm going to say my opinion because I want to. So it's just so smart to have a post like that. And I think it's going to be really effective, or it has probably been really effective. And the other reason why I really like it is because it's getting you so much traction. The most amount of people are probably pouring people at you. And you might even, based on what I heard from you, you might get so many people, you don't need to do anything after that one post. And then the fourth thing was using websites like matchmaker. Whatever you said. I don't remember. It wasn't a .com. Matchmaker.fm. FM. Okay. Yeah. I don't know why I forgot it, but I was like, io.co. I knew it was something. The point is that there are some of these websites, and you can do a Google search to find more of them. I think I've used something called Podbooker. And actually, I'm not sure, but I felt like I met you through Podbooker, or maybe it was through the...
It was the Podcast Movement, Swap Card.
Podcast Movement, that's right. Yep. So I've sponsored, as somebody who does all the post-production of shows and helps people launch shows, we were a sponsor of Podcast Movement. And so for me, this may be relevant to the listener and it may not be. For me, I sponsored an event that was right in my industry, and then actually had my team of virtual assistants jump into the guest list and connect with people on my behalf, to connect with people and to ask them to come on my show. So that was something that, you know, there was thousands of people that came. And we reached out to almost everybody, right? And that was really helpful for us with a team of, I have a huge team, an army of virtual assistants, but I had two of them kind of doing this outreach, connecting on Facebook and LinkedIn with the people that came to that event in the most organic way I could think of, where it didn't seem like spam. I never gave a link, or I guess, honestly, my virtual assistants never just gave a link without permission. I hope you...
It was very natural. It was just like a regular chat within an app.
And so, I mean, it would be hard to go through the exact strategy for that on this podcast. And also, I want to highlight Alicia. But the point is, you, the listener, you could, this is a fifth way. You know, Alicia gave you those four awesome ways. And a fifth way is maybe become a sponsor of an event of something that's in your industry. Alicia could sponsor some type of business or entrepreneurship event, and she could have access to all of these people and just invite them on her show. Or you, the listener, I'm sure you could find the answer within your industry as well. Okay.
I'm going to write this down myself.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, if you use it, Alicia, make sure that you have one or two virtual assistants. because it takes, if there's thousands of people like the podcast movement community, they set a record, I think, last year or something for the highest amount of, I think it went into Guinness or something. But the point is that they have a ton of people that go to that event.
Yes.
And if you're sponsoring an event that size, or maybe you don't even have to sponsor it, maybe you just attend and you can find a way to reach out to the people. Like when this one was a virtual event, so it was kind of cool, is you could see people's faces on the guest list. And so my virtual assistant would be instructed that if the person that they're trying to connect with on LinkedIn or Facebook doesn't look exactly like that, then we don't do it. We don't connect with them unless you can verify that it's the exact right person. So just because they have the same color of hair, same color of eyes, doesn't for sure mean it. We want to make sure 100% that we know that it's the right person. If we can, then we connect with them and we say something to the effect of, hey, I saw you at the podcast movement. I'm looking for good guests for my shows. Wondering if you might want to come on. Something like that is a really easy reach out. And by the way, it ends with a question. It ends with a question, meaning that we're not telling. It goes back to the third thing that Alicia mentioned when she's posting on Facebook, something to the effect of, hey, I've got this podcast. If you or somebody would be a good guest, here's a link to my intake form. It's those questions get reactions. When you tell people things is when they just skip. But when you ask them is when they stop. And so it's really helpful to make sure that you have a series of questions. And I was in sales a long time ago. I actually did door-to-door sales for 6 years, which is probably the hardest form of sales, because you're getting the no's just as much as phone sales or whatever, but you're also fighting the heat or the cold or the sunburns or the dogs biting you. I literally got a dog bite at one of the places. So anyway, the point is that one thing that I learned within sales is he, and I think this could be gender neutral, but she who asks the questions controls the conversation. And so it makes it easy for me to set up a series of organic feeling questions for private messaging for my virtual assistant to do, if it's all questions, because they're either going to answer in the positive or the negative. And if it's positive, don't worry, we've already got the next question queued up. And if that's positive, we've got the next question queued up. And it always goes to this. The penultimate question is, may I send you the link? And then they say, oh, yes, please send me the link. And then you go, here you go. Okay, you asked for it. You wanted it. I didn't solicit this. You told me you wanted the question. So that goes to the very last one where here's the link. Let me know when you check it out, or may I send you an email or whatever. So anyway, long-winded, but it seemed like it was going to benefit Alicia today. So I thought go into it, because I'm sure it helps a lot of the listeners as well. So let me go into the next question that I wanted to ask you. I asked how to find great guests. I asked, it's podcast hacks. So we talked a little bit about your challenges. What are just some gnarly podcast hacks you never knew existed until recently that you might be using in your business?
So this is something else that I found out about that I'm sure you already know, Adam. But something that I found out about through a previous podcast movement conference, and that is headliner.app, where you can create audiograms from your podcast. This is such a phenomenal company, and they just in a very short period of time, they've already integrated with Canva. So if you wanted to create some really nice, beautiful graphics to go along with your podcast audiogram, or if you're trying to create a podcast cover, you can use Canva. But now Canva and Headliner actually are integrated as well. So with Headliner, is it okay
it's totally good. I just want to make sure that I have it spelled correctly. Headliner.app.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. So keep
going.
And
it works best in the Chrome browser.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I found, because I used to encounter issues. I soon came to realize, you know what? It's best to use this particular tool or this website using the Chrome browser. But basically, what you're able to do in Headliner, it can do so many things, honestly. But with just a free account, you can actually create up to 10 audiograms a month. I don't know if that's changed recently because I have a paid account, but I know when I first got started, you could do at least 10 of these audiograms. And for those of your listeners who may not be aware of what an audiogram is, you know, sometimes if you're on Facebook or Instagram, especially sometimes Twitter and even LinkedIn, you may see these really short video clips with a beautiful podcast graphic of some sort. And you could press the play button because it gives the appearance of a video, but it's usually never more than about a minute in length. And it's giving a soundbite, basically, of your episode. So it's a great way to kind of tease up or promote your episode that you have just released or that you will release in the near future. So that's what an audiogram is. The reason Headliner is so cool is because you can actually integrate it with so many of the other podcasting platforms. For example, I use Libsyn. So there is a way that the minute I upload an episode to Libsyn, Headliner will automatically create an audiogram through the use of their AI technology. Now, you don't have to automate that, but if you wanted to do that, you could, which I think is a phenomenal feature. With the Pro account, I believe, you could even actually have captions with your audiograms, and you can also create a full-length video based on your podcast with images and everything if you decided not to actually do a recorded video, but recorded audio only. You could also bring in some still images through the use of Headliner. So that has been by far a tremendous hack for me. Another one is my scheduling tool, Acuity. I don't use Calendly, and it's funny because I'm here in Atlanta and this is, you know, this is home to MailChimp and Calendly, but I use Acuity. And what I love about Acuity, I'm not sure if Calendly can do the same thing, but not only can people, when I just send them a link, so let's say if someone has reached out to me through LinkedIn, just as an example, and they've looked over the information, they say that they want to be a guest, the next thing that me or my guest relationship manager will do is send them a link. And once they click that link, they will then fill out a form where I'm asking upfront for their bio, their headshot information, so that we don't have to keep going back and forth through emails trying to get that information. Because trust me, especially depending on the frequency of your show, that is very easy for very important information to get lost in your inbox. So by having this form where they can actually upload information such as their headshot, such as their bio or their one sheets, it just streamlines it that much more. And the minute they then fill out the form, they click submit, they're then sent over to the calendar where they select a date and a time that works best for them based on our mutual availability. And then it automatically sends them an email with the link to their Zoom session, as well as all of the details. So it has probably, with just the click of one link, that has replaced, I would say, easily 20 plus emails just going back and forth, trying to get information, trying to make sure you remind them when their interview will take place. So, for example, Adam, I could tell that you have a booking system because I received reminder emails. So instead of you having to do that manually or me having to do that manually for my podcast, a booking system can do that for you.
Really good stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alicia. All right. Looking at other questions that I had queued up, I was going to ask you a little bit about tools and some automation process as well. But I think that I got a couple already from you within the hacks. Mm-hmm. So what is your biggest challenge within podcasting? Like if you're still struggling with something right now, what is it? You've done over 100 episodes. And I think the listener needs to hear that all of us still struggle with something. Either it might be on the fulfillment side, the booking side, who knows? But what is it that you are still kind of trying to overcome?
Present day, it's extending the team to where I could have someone physically present to set things up for me. But because of so many of the limitations and restrictions that we all have right now because of the pandemic, it's just not possible. But that is something I could really benefit from right now. A lot of people don't realize just the amount of time that can go into prepping for a show. You never want to just show up cold. So whether you have to set up the lighting, you know, you were great about letting me know in advance, hey, you will be on video, Alicia. So I was like, oh, crap, I have to fix myself up, you know.
Especially during the pandemic. Like, we're recording this. It's the beginning of 2021. But I think feels like 40% of humans don't even take off their pajamas or take a shower in the morning.
Right. So it told me, it let me know, okay, wait a minute. You need to make sure that things are set up properly because you will be on camera. So make sure your background looks great. It's up to par. Make sure the lighting is correct. Making sure the testing the microphone, just all of those little things. And it doesn't seem like a big deal, but it slowly eats away at time that you could be spending doing something else, that some type of revenue generating activity, for example, or just getting your notes together for questions that you may want to ask your guest if you do interview guests for your show. So that is probably one of the biggest struggles I have personally had, because for some people, they don't find it to be a big deal. But for me, it's very taxing because you have to make sure everything's plugged up correctly. In fact, I have a little checklist here, Adam, that I keep on my desk. Yeah, I think the lighting is too bright to see it, but it's just literally has on here water, microphone, turn Zoom on, headset, hardwire internet connection, pens, paper, you know, just to remind myself, because I'm always afraid, oh crap, I'm going to forget to connect something. I'm going to forget to press record. Like, I don't trust my memory. So it was written on an index card that I cut in half and I just laminated it and I just keep it taped here on my desk.
Well, I got excited when you said hardwire in the internet.
Yeah.
That's something that I wish. And maybe I should just fix it. I wish I was asking my guests to be hardwired, because I've learned that I need to be, and it does make it a lot easier for me. People don't understand. They're like, well, I've got great Wi-Fi. I'm sorry, it just does not work. You're going to have mistakes every single time. You should be hardwired. Even if I go to, I have some real estate in multiple different states, and so I have to travel sometimes for that, or travel to speak or whatever, but I will actually bring an ether cord in my bag, because regardless, if I'm going to be recording podcasts on the road, I only need two things. Well, three. I need my laptop. I need a mic that's not going to sound echoey. And so I could just bring a cheaper USB mic that might be like $60, $70, and just bring a 10 to 12 foot ether cord, a yellow cord, to just plug my laptop directly into the wall. I'm not going to chance it with Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi just doesn't work. And you brought that up. That's a brilliant hack that most podcasters themselves don't do. But one thing that I think I'm going to start doing is asking my guests to be hardwired in. I know it sounds, I'm already asking for a professional headset, professional mic, and all this other stuff, but it makes a huge difference because they're not going to be cutting in and out. I was curious how many episodes you publish each week and how many you're recording a week. For one of my podcasts, I publish 3 episodes a week. Wow. And so I'll try to record 6 a week, but some weeks I'm on vacation and some weeks, you know, 2 or 3 people cancel. So I might only record 2 or none that week, but I do my best to record 6 every Wednesday so that I can for sure never be what I call behind the eight ball when I'm trying to make to publish. I found a lot of podcasters where they're like, crap, tomorrow's Friday. I publish my episodes every Friday and I don't have a podcast yet. And they're just jumping in. And I think that's a really stressful way to do it. I'm curious kind of your system. How many do you publish a week? How many do you record a week or per month?
Really quickly, That actually happened to me once in the beginning, where I realized I didn't have a guest lined up and I had to very last minute just do a monologue. But ever since then, I had to get a lot smarter about how I approached it. So believe it or not, Adam, one of the things that I did, I went to Staples and I purchased, you know, those large desktop calendars. So I bought one of those and I realized I do a show every week. So every Sunday at 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern time, a new episode is released. There are no breaks. So there are seasons and every season has a different theme. And that's really for me to kind of keep things fresh and not always ask the exact same questions for all 100 episodes. So there's definitely variation across these different seasons, across the different guests. So what I do is I try to, so for example, the seasons of my show line up with the seasons of the year. So we have 13 episodes per season, 12 guests. Each season ends with a monologue from me. But as I know that March 31st approaches, right, which is the end of a season, for example, I will start interviewing starting the beginning of March. And I try to interview in batches. So the most that I think I have the stamina for, honestly, is 3 a day. So I try to get 12 podcast episodes or interviews done within a 2 to 3 week period. Because to your point, the last thing in the world that you never want to have yourself in a situation where you're scrambling for content. And it gives me an opportunity to then turn that information over to the editor. And that's another, maybe a hack that I can share is, I think it's good in the beginning to try to edit yourself, but you need to very quickly delegate that to someone else. Because as you start podcasting more and more, you're going to realize just how much work it really is. And I was starting to goof, honestly, on the editing, and people would point it out to me, which was really embarrassing, to be honest with you. But that's what it took for me to say, you know what? I do not need to be doing this. Let me delegate this and hand this off to someone else. So that's my show. It's a weekly show. I try to interview in batches, and we just crank them out every Sunday.
Okay. Very, very helpful. I love that you also, you know, really try to get ahead of it, and you'll batch a dozen or so episodes like in just a 2 week period so that you can be all set for the whole next season. Just a quick yes or no. Are your seasons usually about 3 months or are they some other? Okay, right. Just cool. Thank you. And then the only thing that we can end with here is just to let the listener know that you do have a number one best-selling Amazon book. If they want to go to and find Behind the Facade by Alicia Butler Pierre, they can find that on Amazon. It's a number one bestseller, so I'm pretty sure it's got lots of other people that have taken it. And that you help business owners, like most of my listeners are business owners, and they might be at that place where you said in the very beginning of this episode where your client is those people that have hit that point where they have too many clients and they need to really get it systemized and automated for them. And so you can help them with that, and they can either check you out or they can find your podcast wherever they found this podcast, which is the Business Infrastructure. I can't even say that word, by the way.
Yes, you can.
I think I've said it a couple of times, but the more that I try, my dyslexia
No. I struggle with it, so I have to really concentrate. Like, infrastructure.
There you go.
The easiest thing to say.
You got it.
It really isn't. So,
besides checking out your podcast, what's really the best way for the listener to find you, Alicia?
Sure. Honestly, the best way is to go to my personal website, which is aliciabutlerpierre.com, and that's A-L-I-C-I-A. B-U-T-L-E-R, P like Paul, I-E-R-R-E. And once you get there, that will literally link you to everything else. You'll be able to see how we can connect across these different social channels like Facebook and LinkedIn, Twitter. You'll also be able to see a link directly to the book, as you've pointed out, Adam. And also, it could take you directly to the podcast as well.
Perfect. I love that it's a one-stop shop. And for the listener, you don't even have to worry about spelling it right because it's already in the show notes. Just scroll down. You'll be able to just click on there. That's fine. And If you need help with a podcast, if you're about to launch a podcast or you have one already and you just want it to grow, let me know. Just go to growyourshow.com. I'd be happy to help. Alicia, thanks for coming on. I'll let you go. Until next
time. Thank you so much, Adam. I appreciate it.
Back at you.
This episode's brought to you by growyourshow.com. Grow Your Show lets you be the star of your show while we handle all the hard stuff. We offer reliable and affordable post-production services that allow you to grow your show organically without all the work. So go ahead and check out the website right now and feel free to schedule a call with me and let's take your show to the next level. Again, growyourshow.com. You just press record. We handle the rest.